so grateful tonight for your love. Your love never fails. Your love has never failed us. Not one time has your love ever failed us. And we're so thrilled about it because you loved us before we were lovely. You loved us before we loved you. And thank you, Father, you demonstrated your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we honor you tonight in this place. We bless you in this place. We've come here to glorify you. We've come here, Father, to honor you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the honor of sharing the word of the Lord as a minister of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for feeding your people. Thank you for helping your people. In every situation in life, Father, you're the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you, Father, that you shepherd us through the valley. You shepherd us on the mountaintop. You even come out on the ledge and you get the lambs and bring them back in. You're the great shepherd of the sheep tonight. Tonight, Father, as we stand before your word, we declare your word has every answer that we need. Everything we need is in this book. It's in the mighty word of God. We know this, your word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Your mighty word, Father God, has got the answer. And we know this, your word is dripping with anointing tonight. And as we apply faith to the mighty anointed word of God, the word's going to work in our behalf. The word's going to change us, mold us, shape us. The word's going to work effectually in our lives to produce that for which we are believing and that which you are doing in our lives. So we're grateful for the mighty word. Then, Father, we thank you that the word will not return void. And we thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight, our great helper, the paraclete tonight, our standby, our guide, the one called alongside to help. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. Father, he's a truth revealer. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost tonight ministering this word. Father, breaking down this word to give it to your people in the way, in the form that they need it. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. Then, thank you for our pastors tonight, Father. Thank you for using them mightily as they minister forth, the team that's with them. Guard them, use them, protect them, keep them all safe. We'll give you all the glory for that. And then for all that our eyes see, our ears hear, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, believing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, shake somebody's hand. You can have your seat tonight. Glory to God. Don't you appreciate our musicians tonight leading us right into the presence of God? We can do better than that. They led us right into the anointed men and women leading us into the presence of God. We just appreciate them, anointed people. Glory to God. We thank God for their ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. How you doing tonight, saints? Two people doing good. How y'all doing? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you're doing better than you think you are. If you don't think you're doing good, you're doing good by faith in Jesus. So have your Bible, turn to John chapter 9. Thank you for unction, Father. Thank you for utterance. You know, we've prepared ourselves, but to get this out, we thank you for unction and utterance. Well, we've had a whirlwind weekend while you're going to John 9. When you get to John 9, we're going from John 9 to Luke 10. From Luke 10. We're going to Luke 24. From Luke 24, we're going to John 20. From John 20, we're going to Acts 9, if we get that far, in case you wanted to know. All right. Here in John, I've had kind of a whirlwind weekend, just been blessed of the Lord, just giving glory to God. Our youngest son, John Paul, graduated from college, and it was just a joyous weekend for the family. Yeah, we just had a wonderful time. That boy, he did it in 3 years. He worked hard. He's got his undergraduate degree in business, and but he was able to do that all in 3 years and graduated in the top 10% of his class, and just really was honored. They really honored him during the ceremony, and it was really just a great time. I left here headed for where his school is. It's 4 hours from here, 3 hours and 52 minutes to be exact. Going 75 and 80 miles an hour. The speed limit's 75, most of the way. But I left here on, Friday, and Yeah, I left here Friday. But prior to leaving here on Thursday, we looked to the Lord and we were writing a message thinking about tonight. And so I completed a message thinking about tonight before I left here on Thursday, thinking it's going to be a busy weekend and, you know, you don't have a whole lot of time. Once I get back, I'll just have my message all together. And so we completed our message Thursday. And then we were in the hotel Friday, early Saturday morning, about 4 a.m. Saturday morning. I'm an early riser anyway, so I got up at my normal time. And just before I crawled out of bed, I felt so impressed to read John chapter 9. Just down in my spirit, just felt impressed. Read John chapter 9. And I knew what John chapter 9 is. I thought, that's the story of the blind man. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, do I really need to read John chapter 9? You know, I went and got my Bible and read John chapter 9. And it became apparent soon after that I was supposed to speak leading from this scripture, not from what I had prepared. So maybe what I prepared on Thursday will fit somewhere else. But I know that this fits for tonight. And we ask the Lord, and we're confident what we're sharing on tonight. And the title of this message is called The Blind Side. The Blind Side. Now, when I say The Blind Side, you might be thinking about that movie from 2009, I think it was. I think Sandra Bullock, she won an Academy Award for her role and her depiction of Mrs. Toohey and the young African-American teenager Orr, I forget his first name, but she and her, what's that now? Michael Orr, yeah. She became aware of him after her son SJ encounters this African-American teenager at his school, and he's there to play football, and he's plagued by problems and his family life, and she notices him eating out of the trash. And anyway, you know, if you've seen that story, the Blind Side is a great story. And they take him in and they become his family. And then he gets drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. And so the rest is history, is a true story. But anyway, the Blind Side. But I'm not speaking about the movie tonight. But here in John chapter 9, these 41 verses depict the story of a man who was actually born completely blind. And he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, like he has done for you, like he has done for me, Jesus changed this man's whole life. And let's jump right in here. We're going to skip through parts of it. I'll paraphrase to make it go faster. Verse 1 of John chapter 9, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. This is New American Standard, my favorite version, but when I read this out of the Living Bible, this last verse says, he went where he was sent, and he came back seeing. And the power in this story is that this man, through his encounter with Jesus, is completely healed of his blindness. Now, his blindness caused quite an uproar. And because, you know, he'd been blind from birth, and so people from that area, from that vicinity, they knew who he was. They would have seen him many, many times. And when they realize this man can see, there's commotion and confusion, and people start to ask, you look like the blind man. You look like the blind man." And he said, "I am the blind man." And then other people were saying, "No, you're not the blind man. You just look like him." And he said, "No, I am him. I was healed. My eyes, I can see." And they said, "You're not the blind." He said, "I am the blind man." And he kept emphatically saying that he was the blind man who was healed. And so they brought him to the Pharisees, and quite a conversation takes place when they get in front of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees asked, in effect, how was he healed? And he says, a man named Jesus healed him. And then the Pharisees, when they realized Jesus did it, then they're upset and they were jealous and mad at Jesus. And so they asked him if he was really truly the man who was born blind. He kept insisting, I am that man. I was healed. Jesus healed me. And the Pharisees refused to believe it. So they called his parents and they made his parents come over. And they said, is this your son? They said, yeah. They said, was he born blind? They said, he was born blind. And so it was irrefutable that Jesus had performed this miracle. And Jesus, the Pharisees got into a debate with the parents. And the parents were fearful of them because the Pharisees had threatened that anybody who believed in Jesus, anybody who recognized Jesus would be booted out of the synagogue. And the scripture says his parents were afraid of that. And so they didn't want to answer the Pharisees what they knew. So they just kept saying, well, go ask him. He's of age. Ask him yourself. But the Bible says they kept saying that because they were afraid they were going to be kicked out of the synagogue. And you can see that verse 20 of John 9, his parents answered them and said, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this was the reason his parents said, he is of age, ask him. They were in fear. Now, I want to make the point to you tonight that the blind man who's healed, he was not the only blind man in this story. Because there are others in this story with perfect 20/20 vision. But we're blind spiritually. Yes, yes, yes. And his parents, the Bible says that they were fearful. They were fearful of the Pharisees, and they knew Jesus healed him. They said, yes, that's our boy. Yes, he was born blind. They wouldn't say a thing else. They were afraid. And let me tell you, yielding to fear will make you blind in some area of your life. Let me say this. We all need the Lord Jesus. In every area of our life, I need him in my life. You need him in your life. That's an understatement. But the thing is, it's so critical. What you see and what you know about Jesus tonight is so very important to your ability to walk in victory tomorrow. Amen. What you see tonight about the Lord Jesus is so important to you and I to be able to walk in victory 6 months from now. Where we end up, what we wind up doing a year from tonight is very critical what we can see about Jesus tonight. Sometimes as we go through life, you can see him interacting in your life so clear. Am I right about that? Sometimes you can see the Lord. He's just right there. He's just operating and moving in your life so powerfully. And it's so easy to see him, isn't it? And then there's other times when the way becomes a little bit blurry. Things get a little blind to us and it becomes a little harder to see him. And sometimes in the midst of circumstances and chaos, it gets a little harder to see the Lord. You remember John the Baptist, he had come as a forerunner announcing the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But then through circumstance and trial, John sent word to Jesus, are you really the one or am I looking for another? He was having a lonely moment. He was having a fuzzy moment. And it was a little bit harder to see Jesus at that point of his particular circumstance. He had been so bold declaring the Lord. And then we see him say, are you really the one? Or am I looking for another? And sometimes if we all look in our lives, I bet we could all admit that we've had times like that where it was harder to see him moving, answering prayer. Sometimes been harder to see him comforting, reaching out. Sometimes it can be devastating to people if they don't sin. And see, the thing is, nobody loves you like the Lord. Your own mama don't love you like the Lord love you. The Bible said this, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother and his name is Jesus. And sometimes people have trouble discerning his love. People question, Lord, do you love me? Or sometimes people have done things or gone through things and they question the love of the Lord. And does the Lord really love me? Or does he love me like so-and-so? And all kinds of things that I guess from his perspective would just be foolishness because he just loves us all so deeply. But fear can blind you from the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says this, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said this, I'm right there in your midst. But sometimes, even though he's right there in the midst, sometimes folks have trouble recognizing him right there in the midst. And sometimes if folk just knew that Jesus was on the scene, everything would be all right. But they get a little shaky because they start with a joy. Lord, do you see me? Do you see what I'm going through? Lord, don't you see? We get like the disciples in the boat that was about to sink during the storm. You know, they said, don't you care? Don't you care if we, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, he sees you. His parents, they yielded to fear. So they didn't tell everything they knew. His parents weren't the only ones blind either. They were blind. But down later in the story, the Pharisees, man, oh man, the Pharisees in their encounter with the parents and then with this man, they just keep saying he's a sinner. They keep calling Jesus a sinner. And anybody who believes in him can't be of God. And then they keep asking the blind man, and he keeps testifying stronger and stronger for the Lord Jesus. Verse 45 says, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw, I slipped a page over. John 9, I'm sorry. In John 9, verse 35, I'm sorry, 35, John 9, 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him. He is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world so that those who do not see me may see, and that those who see may become blind. And those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus, this here's 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Jesus was saying that the Pharisees were essentially blind spiritually. What blinded them? Their stubbornness. Their own pride and stubbornness blinded them to who the Lord was. They were so prideful about who Jesus was ministering to, and their stubbornness blinded them. And so fear can blind us from seeing the Lord work and move in our life, from knowing that he's there. And then, look, stubbornness can blind us, make us a little bit blind to the things of God. And so important that we stay away from fear, stay away from stubbornness and pride. Okay, now let's go to Luke. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're talking about the blind side tonight. There are things that the Lord can see in you and I, and we may not be able to see it in ourselves. But I guarantee you there are things right now in you, there are qualities, there are giftings, there are skill sets that the Lord sees in you right now tonight. And you may be a little bit blind to it. You may not be able to see it. There are things that the Lord has for you to do in these days to come. Listen to me now. You may have no clue today what you'll be doing tomorrow. But the Lord sees it just as clear as you're looking at me. He can see things in you. He can see you operating in certain ways, doing certain things. And the thing is, he can see it whether or not you can see it. He can still see it in you and I. And here, we're in Luke chapter 10 now at verse 38 down to 42. I'm going to read all of those. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen," everybody say chosen, "the good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha in this story was a little bit blind. Jesus was in her home, and her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, gleaning from his words. And the Bible says that Martha was so distracted with all her preparation that she became frustrated. In fact, she calls out to the Lord, "Lord, tell her to help me." But she was blind. She had the King of Kings in her home, and she was too busy. She was too distracted in her own house to sit at his feet and get the word. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying that busyness can blind us. Being too busy in our own home can blind us to the beautiful things that God's doing and wants to do in our life. Martha in her own home was too busy. And she was so worried about those distractions that she was blind to what was really important. What was the real priority? The real priority is that Jesus, the King of Kings, is at your house. And he's just sitting there waiting to meet with you. Martha, are you serious? And you're giving up all of your time to meet with Jesus, rattling pots and pans. And in her blindness, she wants Mary to stop. And Jesus refused to accommodate that. He said, "Mary has chosen the better part, and that's not going to be taken." He was saying, in effect, just because you're blind, because of your busyness, I'm not going to encumber Mary. I'm not going to take this blessing from Mary just because busyness has blinded you. My friend, have you gotten too busy for the Lord in some area of your own life, in your own house? Ooh, a preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. You know a brother can't get no amen talking like that. You may be too busy in your own house with the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, waiting to meet with you. He's got things to talk to you about. He's got things to tell you. He's got things to confirm in you. He's got things to encourage you with. He's got stuff to correct you with. Can't get no amen. I lost my amens. He's got things to build you up, to help you up. He's got what you need. And sometimes we are too busy to sit at his feet, and we are blinded thinking that our busyness is the priority. And we will sometimes get up day after day and walk right past him in our own house, in our own business. Busyness can blind you, and the Lord is right there in your house. Go to Luke 24. Fear can blind you to the presence of the Lord. Stubbornness can blind you to the presence of the Lord. Busyness can blind you to the presence of the Lord. Here in Luke 24, these two brothers on the way to Emmaus, starting at verse 13, "And behold, two of them were going out that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you all are exchanging with one another as you're walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem unaware of the things which have happened in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him over to the sentence of death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early this morning, did not find his body. They came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe and all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses, that's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. Jesus went from scripture to scripture to scripture in the Old Testament, explaining himself to them. That must have been an awesome conversation. It was so awesome. It was so awesome that they commented later in the text. They said, wow, he was speaking to us on the road after they really, when their eyes were open, you know, finally they get to Emmaus and they turn in and Jesus acts like he's going to go straight. And they said, please come on with us and stay with us. And so he comes to dine with them. And then when they get in inside, they give Jesus a piece of bread and he breaks the bread. And when he broke that bread, the Bible says their eyes were open and they saw him. And then just like that, he disappeared. And they got up right then and headed right back to Jerusalem. They never should have left Jerusalem. They were sad. They were discouraged. They were in unbelief. They were thinking that the things that Jesus had said didn't come to pass. They had so much natural reasoning. Listen to me now. There was so much natural reasoning about what they were going through. They were a little bit blind to the fact that Jesus was right there on the scene. They had a little too much logic. And you know, God has created men folk, especially with a lot of logic. We men, we try to figure everything out logically. You show us a problem, we'll put a Rubik's Cube. Somewhere in every man, there's an invisible Rubik's Cube. And a man, you tell him a problem, a man starts. There's your problem. And somehow if a man can see something logically, then we tend to do that or follow that or accept that. We tend to depend and lean too much on logic. How many with me in here? But logic has a lot to do with natural human reasoning. And natural, you know, then they got over into logic. Well, it's been 3 days. Well, they went to the tomb, but he wasn't there. Well, we were thinking that he was going to restore Israel at this time. Natural human thinking. They were so caught up in natural human thinking, they were blind to the fact that the Lord had risen from the dead and the Lord was walking right in the midst of them. He was walking with them. He was with them on the job. He was with them in their home. He was with them in the car. And they were blind to the fact that they were talking to the Lord. And until he broke that bread, they thought he was just a normal bystander, just a normal person on the road. They got annoyed with him when he didn't know what they were talking about. You're the only one in Jerusalem don't know the things going on. They're a little callous and arrogant in their blindness. If they hadn't been dependent on that, all that natural human reasoning, they would have known the Lord would honor his word and was risen from the dead. They wouldn't have been sad and dejected and walking 7 miles out of Jerusalem, because when they found out it was Jesus, they turned right around that night, walked 7 miles back to Jerusalem. They got up right that second. So they never should have been down there in Emmaus in the first place. They got off track, got off the road, got off the beaten path. You may be here tonight, off the road a little bit. Oh, but God's seeking for you. God's searching for you. Let me tell you, natural human thinking will make you a little bit blind. Too much logic. Where did I tell you to go after that? John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Mary this time. Mary. Look at verse 9. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And so the disciples went away again to their own homes. Notice again and again, the word keeps coming up. Their ability to discern the word, their ability to be in the word. Not being in the word enough will make you blind to the presence of the Lord. Verse 11, but Mary was standing outside the tomb. What was she doing? Crying, weeping. The Bible says she was weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw the two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. Now, if she had been perceptive, she would have been rejoicing, but she's weeping. She's grieving. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? In other words, she should have been rejoicing. They said, well, how come you're crying? What are you crying about? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Now look at this. Supposing him to be the what? The gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. And then Jesus said, stop clinging to me. This is a hilarious story. The thing is, what got in the way? Emotion. Too much emotion here. In the previous scripture, too much logic got in the way. Too much natural human thinking. Now here, too much emotion. She's so busy crying. The angel said, what are you crying about? In other words, you should be rejoicing. She's too busy, too much emotion. And the Lord has created you women folk with a whole lot of emotion. You know, I'm right about it. The Lord has created you women with this beautiful emotion. And somebody said, you're walking on thin ice, brother. Watch out now. Somebody said, what's more important, logic? That God seemed to give men a bunch of logic, seemed to give women a bunch of emotion. Somebody said, which one more important? I said, well, you know, they're kind of like wings on an aircraft. Yep. If I was on a plane and somebody said, which of these wings is most important? I said, we need a balance of both of them, don't we? But you can get unbalanced. You can get unbalanced with that logic and depend too much on natural human reasoning, and you can get unbalanced with emotion and depend too much on emotion. How many ladies know what I'm talking about? You can depend on too much on emotion, and that emotion can send you into a ditch if it's too much emotion. And the thing about it, there's nothing like the beauty of balanced logic and balanced emotion. You got to have both of those. That's a beautiful thing when you have balanced logic, balanced emotion. But here she's crying so hard that she's talking to Jesus and she don't realize she's talking to Jesus. And the Bible said what was in her mind. She was thinking he was the gardener. And she said, if you just tell me where you put, I don't want to hear nothing. Tell me where his body is. Tell me where you took his body. I don't need nothing else. I don't need you asking me all these questions. You just tell me where you're just the gardener. I don't need to talk to no gardener. I'm trying to find Jesus. I didn't come here to see the gardener. I didn't come here to talk to you. Tell me where Jesus is. That's all I need to know. And talk to the hand after that. Let me finish crying. Trying to find Jesus. She's a little bit blind. She's a little bit blind. She was talking to Jesus. And Jesus may be talking to you in your quiet time. You know, you read a scripture and something witnessed on the inside. And the Lord himself was talking to you. And you act like you're talking to the gardener. You cast it down. Just a scripture. I read that before. Oh, that probably came up because, you know, some preacher said that in church. And the Lord himself's talking to you. And you're treating him like the gardener. And too much emotion can make us a little bit blind. Man, we didn't run out of time. Let's go real quick. Let's run real quick. Can you run real quick with me? Go to Acts chapter 9. Paul on the Damascus Road. He was blinded. And down there must be around verse 18. Let me get over there. Acts 9. Verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. This is after Ananias came to him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who met you on the road, sent me to lay my hands upon you that you be filled with the Holy Spirit and regain your sight. And the Bible said immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He had been temporarily blinded on that Damascus road. When you read the first part of chapter 9, it says that he was in his zeal. He was vigorously pursuing Christians to kill them in an effort to stomp out the church. He was so zealous for what he was doing. He thought he was doing God a favor, but he was blind. He couldn't see that the very thing God was doing was happening through the church. And he's trying to stomp out the church thinking he's doing God a favor. He was blind. And the Lord had to bring him to himself on that dirty, dusty road and remind him who he was. And he went through a temporary blindness until Ananias came and laid his hands on him. Those scales fell off his eyes. Zeal without knowledge will blind you. There's a whole lot of people in our world today. They're just as zealous, but it's not with knowledge. Some people are zealous with tradition. Our Mormon friends, they ride those bikes all over town, all day and night. They are zealous. But that's the knowledge that they need. Our Jehovah's Witness friends, they do the same thing. They go all over sharing, you know, talking to people, knocking on doors. They don't have the knowledge. They're zealous. Sometimes their zealousness put Christians to shame. But that's a subject for a different night. But zealot, being zealous without knowledge is dangerous. Clinging more to tradition than to truth will make you blind. So my friend tonight, what is it? Fear? Stubbornness? There are so many things. Emotion, logic. When you consider all of the things that happened in the lives of these believers, they all had an encounter, an authentic encounter with Jesus that they didn't realize at the time they were having. And I dare say that the same thing has happened to you and I. If not once, probably many times. If you could really see the love of the Lord, Him speaking to you, Him reaching out to you, Him hugging you when you're hurting, comforting you when you're going through trial and adversity. If you could see Him when you're out on the edge of the cliff and He's out there coming out there to get you. If you could see Him ministering to you through the Word. If you could see through your neighbor spoke a word, an encouraging word over the fence, and the Lord was talking to you. You were on the phone with your girlfriend, and your girlfriend was saying something about Jesus, and Jesus was talking to you through her. You were going somewhere and someone, you read something in the Word, or you read something about the Word, and the Lord witnessed in your spirit. You didn't realize it was the Lord. And like all of these different people, whether it's logic, emotion, stubbornness, fear, tradition, we can all have a little blind side if we're not careful. And that blind side can sometimes get us in trouble. And so what we need to do is to ask the Lord, Lord, am I blind in any area? Is there any area where I'm blind? The blind man was blind naturally initially, and he was blind spiritually too until Jesus got a hold of him. At the beginning of the story in John 9, the blind man, when asked about Jesus, he says he was just a good man. The first time they asked who healed you, he said, well, he was just a man healed me. A man named Jesus. He was just a man. The next time they asked him who healed you, he said, it was a prophet. He was a prophet that healed me. The last time they asked him, he said, he's my Lord. He went from calling Jesus just an ordinary man to calling Jesus a prophet to calling Jesus my Lord. He was healed of blindness two different ways. My friend, tonight, what about you? Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored tonight to share with your people what you laid upon our heart. And we realize this, that you are speaking, you are moving, you are encouraging your people. You are strengthening, you are helping, you are correcting your people. You are forgiving, You are restoring. You are rebuilding your people. And so, Lord, whatever it is tonight, we all have some blinder in some area. And Father, let me just say it this way, Father, if there's a blinder in any area of our lives, we ask you to reveal it, unveil it, unfold it, that we might receive ministry from you, that we might see you clearly, that we might recognize you in all of your beauty and all of your glory. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Forgive us where we've been blind in the past. You spoke, we didn't listen. You were there, we didn't know it. You tried to help us, we thought you were the gardener. Forgive us, Lord, where we've been blind in the past. Thank you that you have enabled us to see and to see clearly. So tonight, Father, we pray for anybody that's here who might be blinded spiritually, who might not know the reality of your presence, the reality of who you are. Father God, anybody here who maybe they've never received Jesus as their Savior, with every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, maybe you're here, you're in that category, maybe you've never received Jesus. When I first started hearing about Jesus in 1979, it took me 6 months of studying in the Word about being born again before I could see that I needed to be born again. I needed a relationship with Jesus. I was blind. I couldn't see it. But tonight, scales are falling off of somebody's eyes. And you're realizing, without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there's no way. The Bible said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you're going to come through the Father, you're going to have to come through Jesus. He paid the price. He paid the ransom for you and for me. He died on the cross for our sins. And God raised him from the dead when he was crucified. In this place, let me see your hand. You say, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I couldn't see it before, but I see now. I want Jesus as my Savior. Let me see your hand in this place. Let me see your hand. Maybe someone watching, you're viewing, you're listening through some other venue. You want Jesus to be your Savior. Oh, this is your time. This is your time. In this very place, you're here and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I am one who have received Jesus before, but I've turned and I've gone my own way in some areas, and I've been doing my own thing now, walking away from him. But I see him tonight, and he's wooing me home. And I need to make some things right. I want you to pray for me. Let me see your hand in here. You say, the Lord's dealing with me. I want to make something right tonight with him. Get it right. I see him clearly. He's talking to me. Maybe you're not living like you should. Oh, but God loves you. And the Lord wants to help you. And what you sense upon you is his sweet presence, his sweet love. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Let me see your hand in here. And you may be here and you may say, you know, I want to be filled with the mighty Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. According to Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if that's you here and you want that New Testament biblical experience, and you can come and receive today. Let me see your hand. Anybody here want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? On one or any of those invitations, if you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you right now to get up out of your seat and come down here. You say, I should have raised my hand. That's all right. It's not too late. You can get up out of your seat right now and come down here. Let the Lord touch you. Anybody on any of those invitations? Father, we trust you tonight. We look to you and thank you for your goodness. You know the hearts of your people. So we trust that you'll continue to deal with people, continue to draw them to yourself. May your presence of love be upon them and that conviction to bring them home in their own hearts. And so we'll give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise for continuing to rest upon them, Father, till they make things right with you. So, Father, for the rest of us now, we trust you. We look to you. And there may be some area where we've been a little bit blind. Oh, but open our eyes tonight. Enable us to see clearly. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And if we've been blind to your love, blind to your forgiveness, blind to your presence, blind to your healing, blind to your strength, blind to your wisdom, blind to your direction, if we've been blind in any area and you've been speaking, Father God, forgive us. And Father, oh, restore our sight in that area. And Father, we'll live for you through the Lord Jesus and worship you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, if you're here tonight and it is your first night, let me see your hand. Wave at me real big. Pastor Marvin was telling you about a great gift that we have for you, and we're going to tell you how to get that. Our friends here from our connection team in the aqua colored shirts are going to ask you to go with them to a place where the gift is. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to give you that great gift that we have on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, our entire church family. So if you would go with them right now, we're going to bless you for making an effort to come to church tonight. Let's show our love to all these who came tonight, their very first night. Praise God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Well, stand on your feet, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Lift one hand to the Lord. Now unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody be blessed and safe going home. We'll see you right back here Wednesday night with Pastor Hagen for Hour of Power. We love you. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you next time.